Thank you very much. It's so interesting to study and teach the Word of God. Been doing it for some 37, close 38 years now. And I love what we're doing on the in our Christmas special, the chronology of the birth of Christ. I've never even done some of the passages that we'll read. We'll resume that study. And just the passages that this book affords for a New Year's type of challenge. I mean, it's just packed with them. And I just sort of go through and say, okay, which one are you going to give me now for our New Year's special? And so we're getting ready for 2012. Now, when I say getting ready for 2012, I am not talking about the presidential election. I am not talking about what's going on in the Middle East. I'm talking about your life, your daily lives, things that affect your life, your finances, your health, relationships, your life in 2012. There's nothing you can really do about what's happening in the Middle East. Keep up with it, but there's not really much we can do about it. Outside of voting and prayer, there's not much we can do about the election in 2012. But I want to tell you something. Every day, you make decisions about your life that deal with the quality of your life that day. And this is what we're going to address and for our study. So let's open the Word of God to Colossians. I have fallen in love with Colossians. We'd love to have us another night, maybe Tuesday night or Thursday night, and go through the book of Colossians. It is so powerful, but we're just going to note a couple of verses. So open your Bibles to Colossians 1, and before we get into it, let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, what is the purpose of this prayer? The purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of this powerful passage that we're going to be looking at. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book. There's not another book like it on all earth, in all history. We could have several lifetimes and not even begin to grasp the richness of this book. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to the things that you would have us to see and the challenge for the new year in our life. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's begin our reading. It really isn't our passage verse, but it introduces our verse. So let's read Colossians 1. Let's begin reading in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it. Now, what has he heard? Heard of what? Well, look back at verse 8. Of your love in the Spirit. He heard of their spiritual love for one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. See? He didn't hear about their doctrine or their morality or their well or any of these things they're doing. He heard about their spiritual love for one another. So this is motivating him now. We have not, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, of your love for one another in the Spirit, we have not ceased to pray for you. People praying for those that are in the battle. In our study in John 17, the Lord's Prayer, just prior to the crucifixion, Jesus Christ says, I do not pray on behalf of the world. Now, one might think, okay, these people, I look around, they come to Bible study, they seem to be walking in the Spirit, they seem to be doing okay, don't really need to pray for them. They don't really need our prayer. I'll pray for those who don't even care about the Word of God. Don't even care about coming to Bible class. Don't even care about communion. Don't even care about, those are the ones I'm going to pray for. I'm going to tell you something, you're wrong. Paul and the Lord pray for those that are in the battle. Those that are on the front line. Those are the ones who need your prayers. See, those are the ones who Paul prays for consistently, and we're to pray for consistently. So we do not cease to pray for you. And I'm just going to start off right now by asking you, please be in prayer for me, in my studies, my health. Please be in prayer for one another. Some days you may think of individuals. That's the Holy Spirit. Some day you may just think for the whole assembly, the momentum of the assembly. Then a name will come to you. People, where do you think that comes from if you're in the Spirit? You're in the Spirit, you pray for the assembly, and someone's name comes to your mind. Someone's name. Brian Cooper comes to your mind. Oh, well, okay. No, people, don't slough that off. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about, being led of the Spirit, being aware of Him. So you stop, say, okay, I don't know what's going on, but I'm in prayer for that person. So be in prayer for those that are in the battle and start this prayer for me and for each other January 1st. Now look what he says. To ask. Now this is what's important. People, it's one thing to pray. It's another thing what you pray for. We're learning right now in John 17 some wonderful principles and points on praying for one another from Jesus Christ. Now, here's what Paul prays for these believers. And by the way, this is my prayer for every one of you. And even for those that aren't here tonight, but are part of this assembly. This is my prayer through 2012 for you. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, that you may be filled with biblical truth, Bible doctrine. That, in order that you, the believer, especially the believer walking, striving to walk in the Holy Spirit and loving by the Holy Spirit for one another, may be filled. Now, this is the aorist passive subjunctive of the Greek word. Well, let's see. Here we go. Now, okay. Yeah, let's lift it up here. All right. Oh! No, the light. It's up. There, that ought to do it. And because I want to use this a little bit more, I want to get back to it. The amount of time it takes, put things on a PowerPoint, but I'm just going to get the old-fashioned way. And the word here is pleroo, and that's P-L-long-E, R-O, long-O, pleroo. Now, first thing I want to point out, that double O, we've studied that in our study in Romans, that when your verb ends with the double O, it expresses a desire of a condition that you wish were true or that is true. Pleroo, to be filled. This is his prayer. Paul prays or desires that they be filled with this doctrine, this knowledge. And again, this is what I'm in prayer for each one of you. Now, why does Paul use this word, pleroo, this concept for the knowledge of doctrine in our soul, being filled with it? What does that mean to be filled with doctrine? And so let's just summarize it very quickly in a few things. One, because people, there is a deficiency in every one of us. Every one of us have a deficiency. If you don't understand that, you're in real trouble. This deficiency needs to be filled with the Word of God, Bible doctrine. Secondly, now, you don't want to just fill it up, you fill up your soul, fill up your mind with information. This word directs us to be filled or to fill our souls with the highest quality. You fill up your soul with the highest quality, it's going to have an impact in your life. You can fill your soul with good stuff like history, or you can fill your soul with useless stuff where you can do well on Jeopardy. Or you can fill your soul with the knowledge of the Word of God and do well in your daily life. Three, There's another reason Paul uses this word, to be filled. Filled. What does that mean, filled? It means to be fully influenced. Every area of your soul, therefore, every area of your life will be influenced by this doctrine. That's what it means to be filled. And then finally, four, Paul uses this word because he carries with it being filled to where you're fully influenced. You're fully influenced by what you're filled with, the Word of God, Bible doctrine. To paraphrase the Ephesians passage of be filled, well, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here we could say, be not filled with wine, be filled with the Word of God, be filled with doctrine. You're filled with alcohol, it's going to influence your life. It's going to influence how you walk. It's going to influence how you walk. It's going to influence how you drive, how you think, how you act. Well, people, you fill your soul with the Word of God, it'll influence all those areas in your life. Now, let's take a look at this verb and the makeup of this verb. First of all, it's in the aorist tense. It's in the aorist tense. And this looks at all the accomplishment of this in its entirety as you fill up your soul. So if you spend 2012 taking in the Word of God, you're on your way. But as long as you are alive on earth, people, you'll never get this container completely filled. It's constant. It's constant being filled up. Now, what's important to me is the passive voice. The passive voice. Be filled, passive voice. This is the grace voice and orients us to the truth. You may like to claim, I did this. I filled my soul with Bible doctrine. I studied. I listened to the pastor and all these things. People, no, let me tell you something. You receive being filled by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a passive voice. We receive being filled if we submit to Him and the leading and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And now the warning. It's in a subjunctive mood. Subjunctive mood. And the subjunctive mood says there will be some in this assembly who will make it and some who will not be filled with the Word of God. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, is a subjunctive mood. And this is daily decision in your life as you walk throughout your life. Subjunctive mood here is a warning. It's a warning to abide in His Word throughout 2012. Okay, I pray that you may be filled. Now Paul directs us to what we should be filled with. What should saturate our souls, fill our souls? What should be poured into our souls throughout 2012? Look what he says. With the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, we don't have time in just a couple hours on New Year's Eve for me to break down all these words and everything, but this is another important word, the word used for knowledge, and I'll show you why as we go through our passage and our study tonight. This is the verb epignosis. Epignosis. That's E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. Epignosis. Gnosis. It has a definite article. The knowledge. Now, if you have the NASV, you'll note in the margin there, it has real knowledge. What's going on here? What are the people, the translators of the New American Standard, trying to tell us when they put in real knowledge, not just knowledge? Well, let's note a few things. This is a whole other hour and a half doctrine, but let's just take it in a minute and a half. One, a knowledge of personal involvement. That's what epignosis is. It's personal involvement. There are several words in the Greek New Testament for knowledge. This is a rich one. Secondly, epignosis, the knowledge that Paul prays that we be filled with, emphasizes the acquiring of this knowledge. It expresses a more thorough participation in the acquiring of this knowledge. People were not born with it. even in our second birth. We're born again, we're born from above, but we are not born with is having this knowledge. It is outside of us. We have to get this knowledge outside of us from the text, inside our soul. This involves a personal involvement with it. And three, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you have to study the Word of God under one whom God has sent, a pastor teaching, I'll show you that, who does his job in the study and the teaching of the Word of God. And finally, four, this verb refers to knowledge that powerfully influences your daily life, and that's out of a lexicon. Powerfully influences your daily life. There is so much more than these 4 points, but I hope this gives you an idea to encourage you through 2012. All right, let's see what our passage now says. We pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, to what does the phrase of His will refer? What does that refer to? Well, one, to the will of His Son, Jesus Christ. Two, to His will for the church age. And three, His will for your life personally. See, people, God has a plan for the whole church age. And we may have this idea whom we want to be elected and whom we do not want, just picking on what's going to happen in 2012. Well, I got news for you. This is what we're talking about. The wisdom of His will. The knowledge of His will. I don't know what His will is for America. I know what's going to happen if one person wins, what may slow it down, if another, all this kind of stuff. But I don't know. Are we moving toward the end of the church age? If we are, America's not a major player. So things have got to happen there. Things are happening in Israel that are horrible. Things are happening in Europe that's confusing. I don't know what He's doing. But I know He's got a will, so we study His Word to grasp what His will is for the church. Maybe not a timetable, but His plan for the church. So this knowledge of His will for you, your daily life, people, that's what we're concerned with here. Many believers get so involved in prophecy, the end times, or something like that, and you know why they do it? To escape living their Christian life day in and day out with their husband, with their wife, with their family, with their church, with people. And they pride themselves and they think themselves as they're okay by avoiding all these other things. Oh, but I'm really into this. It's just a cop-out. People, we have to live our daily lives as unto the Lord. There are many Christians who do not want to live with their husband, their wife, their children, their parents in a manner prescribed by Scripture. And so they get so busy in these other things, oh, that's okay. No, people, that's not okay. Those are the things we're going to be looking at. All right, He says, in all, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now He says, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Do not speed read past the all-inclusive all. Look at it now. All. And by the way, it's repeated in concept. In all spiritual wisdom and all spiritual understanding. What does the all mean? To what does that all refer that I don't want you to pass over? It means all categories. All categories dealing with the world, dealing with the church, dealing with you individually, dealing with you and your home, your family. Clarifying what kind of wisdom and understanding. Therefore, the translation, spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. We did not have time in just a New Year's special to cover anywhere near the depth that we should, but let's just point out a few things here. The Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics, see this word, I got it on the board, gnosis. That word has a root idea of knowledge, of knowing, and there were people called Gnostics who put all of their dependence on their knowledge, which was not biblical. So, the Gnostics, indeed, the world has its own wisdom. We're studying this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 on Sunday morning. and have their own wisdom and understanding and claims that theirs is correct. But people, the wisdom and understanding of the will of God is offered freely to every individual who, in the power of the Spirit, will sit down and study God's Word. Note the word spiritual. Few people, no unbeliever, and even few believers really understand this word. I'm always amused when you hear people on TV, you see them, and it was some big concert. It was a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual experience. I'd love to be, what do you mean? What are you talking about? It just made you feel really good deep down inside. You got a really fuzzy thing down inside feeling. What's that mean? It's a spiritual experience. People, this word, referring to the Holy Spirit. Spiritual refers to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom and understanding from or by the Holy Spirit. Wisdom. Very quickly. This word, we're studying in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, briefly stated, wisdom is concerned with our daily lives, making decisions based on the wisdom from the Word of God. As we go through 2012 elections, you will not hear much about wisdom. Very few of these candidates, if any of them, know what wisdom is, understand the word and concept of wisdom. But we're talking about real wisdom here, the wisdom of the Word of God. Now, but what is frightening, these are the candidates, what is frightening to me is there's no wisdom in our Supreme Court. There's no wisdom in really in our local churches in America. Few of them even come close to understanding spiritual wisdom. But people, the real problem is the absence of wisdom in the movement. Excuse me. In the movement of our church today, we have female pastors, homosexual churches, condone and encourage what God calls abominable. And it's encouraged in the church, not just in the secular world, which is where I expect it, but in the church. And even worse, a false gospel based on the wisdom of man, not on the Word of God. You've got to have wisdom to be able to discern these things. It takes the wisdom of the Word of God to be able to discern in your own life these things. And then it says spiritual understanding. Now, you know, we could spend a lot longer on spiritual wisdom, but now let's just look at and spiritual understanding. This is the verb synesis. This word means to comprehend. Spiritual understanding. It means to comprehend. It means to reason out. The word denotes the ability to understand concepts. I'm going to repeat this slowly. To understand concepts and grasp the relationships between them. Will of God, my life, and the decisions in my life. This word synesis, right out of the lexicon, discriminates between the false and the true. And it grasps the relationship between those two concepts. Set ability, understanding. Let me get this straight now. God made male and female bodies. It's proper discrimination to know that the male body is not made for a male. That's proper discrimination. It sounds very silly, but think of the world we live in today, where it's not only condoned, it's encouraged. God made the female body. It's, to me, just proper discrimination. He didn't make it for another female. But this kind of understanding and wisdom is absent today, even in the church. The gospel by grace through faith. Well, proper grasping, to me, determines that we're going to be restored from sin as believers by grace through faith. That's proper understanding to me. Not by something else I do. which we'll take a look at in Colossians 2:6. So we have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. We stand in opposition to human wisdom and human understanding. And spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding demands the Holy Spirit. There's your word spiritual. So you better know how to be filled with the Spirit. So do not be alarmed or shocked by the wisdom of the world, people. Just understand, there's no way they can have it. It shouldn't surprise us that Sodom and Gomorrah continually comes up and comes up throughout history, and now it's our turn in American history. This is the wisdom of the world. This wisdom and spiritual understanding needs to be passed down, people. It needs to be passed down from a mother and a father to a son or daughter. But you know what that presupposes? That the mother and father have that wisdom and understanding themselves. Most don't today. They have that. They do not have it to pass down. So what do they pass down? Law. What do they pass down? Legalism. What do they pass down? Emotionalism. They don't have the spiritual understanding. People, this is vital. What we're looking at tonight is vital to us and to our heritage, passing it down. All right, let's look at verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, spiritual love for one another, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and in all spiritual understanding. Now we have some dynamics of your life when you are filled with the knowledge of His will. Verse 10 really starts my special. And as I got into work in it, well, I've got to have the foundation, so I've got to look at verse 9. Well, if I'm going to go to verse 9, since the day we heard it, I got to look at verse 8. What did he hear about? He heard about spiritual love for one another. So, I don't know how long we've been at it, but now we're ready to start the special in verse 10. Verses 10, 11, and 12 are a special. Verse 10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience with joy, giving thanks to God, to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, let's note the objectives in your life in 2012 from this study. We have one infinitive, and we have four prepositions. I know that doesn't just turn you on. I know that didn't excite you. Oh, wow! One infinitive, four participles. This is really great stuff. I know that. I know you're not going to go out and celebrate afterward. Wow! One infinitive and four participles. That was so cool. Let me see if I can make it cool. See if I can make it pertinent for you. Let's see what we can do here. Okay. We have one infinitive, and that infinitive is two. Walk. To walk. Let's forget about what comes after that. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, please Him in all respects. All I want to do is just, I want to show you the flow of our challenge for tonight. So, to walk. Now, this is an infinitive. Now, this is followed by four participles. And so, I'm going to put this underneath. Underneath. Here's the first one. All right, let's see if we can get the first one on here. And another one, here it is. Okay. Now, the first one is bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Now, if you walk correctly, you will bear fruit. It's a participle. Secondly, increasing in the knowledge, that's going to be our same word, epinosis, of God. Well, what about Jesus Christ? Well, we'll get to it. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And then three, strengthened or strengthening, to keep the participle form, but strengthened in all power. And then the fourth one, giving thanks. Now, this is where we'll end our study, giving thanks. And I just want to jump at it right now. People, let me tell you something. If in 2012, your day is characterized by thanking God, it will not be characterized by complaining and belly aching. If you spend the day thanking God, you're not going to spend the day complaining. Okay, that's the way we're going to end it. Let's take a look now at the four things that should characterize our life. First of all, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And if you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, these are four things that you'll see happening in your life. Bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, giving thanks. Now, of course, we do not have time to study each of these, but let's see if we can grasp the concept for our lives as we go to 2012. First of all, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Your daily Christian life is often viewed in the Bible as a walk, a journey. Now, you want to know your walk? You want to know your walk? You don't know it? You want to know your walk? Well, sometime next day or two, just go back over the last 6 months in your checkbook and in your calendar. And you'll know the walk of your life. You'll know the priorities in your life. You'll know where what's important in your life. So you'll know your walk. Now, compare your walk with how the Word of God describes what your walk should be. And you know what I love about this list? It doesn't say give a lot of money. I'm just tired of our society where churches, it's all about money. It's all about giving. It's all about tithing. Maybe that's why I don't have a building, but I don't care. That's not what it's all about. You're led of the Spirit, you'll give. You're not led of the Spirit, you won't give. But I love the five things, the four things that followed by the walk that are described in this one little passage. All right, it says to walk. This is an aorist active infinitive of the verb peripateo. That's that important. It means to walk about. It's used to describe people's lives in the Bible. The aorist tense takes your life as a whole. It views your life in its entire momentum. When you die, boom. What was the walk of your life? That'll be the aorist tense. Be made up by the present tenses of decisions we make, but the whole life is viewed in the aorist tense. The active voice, people, you choose how you're going to walk. You choose what's going to be important to you in 2012. You choose how you're going to spend your time, your money, your life, priorities, relationships, all these things. You choose it. That's one of the most beautiful things about the plan of God. You get to choose it. And then the infinitive, the purpose. Being filled with the knowledge, with all the knowledge of all spiritual wisdom and all spiritual understanding, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. To know this requires knowledge of His will. If you know the will of God, then you'll know the manner that you were to walk. Okay? Now, this is further described, the walk, to please Him in all respects. Now, you want to talk about something that's opposed to our flesh nature? This is it. This is it. To please someone else. We might do it for a minute. But to base our whole walk in our life, to please someone else, forget it. The flesh is not going to do that. So you can just take this to please Him in all respects and know right from the beginning, the flesh nature, no. This is not going to happen. To live in every respect of your life to please someone else, our flesh nature just isn't going to do that. Our flesh nature desires to please self. We make decisions to please self. But here we're talking about please him in all respects. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. To please someone, you have to know them. Isn't that profound? Boy, that's profound. To please someone, you have to know them. Let's pick one. Young man meets a young woman, whatever, he's very strong, and desires to send her flowers. Well, that's wonderful. What if she doesn't like flowers? Well, I never thought about that. What kind of flowers? You send roses, she may like cactus. So, it's just, you got to know the person. You got to know them. What do they like? What do they not like? You buy her, I think I've used this illustration in the past, you buy her a $40,000 swimming pool. She doesn't swim, she's allergic to the sun, and she'll never be out there. But boy, you like to tell everybody, you bought her a $30,000, $40,000 pool. See? No, people, if you want to please someone, you have to know them. And to know people takes time. Especially if they're not physically here. Jesus Christ. You want to please him, you have to know him. To please someone in all respects, you have to know them in all respects. See? And the only way that we can know Jesus Christ is through the Word of God, which reveals Jesus Christ to us. So the more that we study the Word of God, the more we learn about him. We learn what will please him in all respects. So, first, you have to have the desire to please him. And again, your flesh nature doesn't have that desire. So you got to be in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Then you have to know him in order to please him. Then you have to walk in a manner to please him in all respects. First the desire, then the knowledge, and then what we'll just say, the doing, and I don't mean do and do, but the actual walking to please him. This requires walking. This requires the walking that we're talking about, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment, the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is not, people, it isn't just a matter of doing something for Jesus Christ. It's the power in which we do it. Let's say that we come to the conclusion together that it will please Jesus Christ if we pray. Okay? Now, you pray in the flesh, doesn't please him. Pray in the Spirit, pleases him. Let's say that it pleases, we come to the conclusion, it pleases Jesus Christ to serve one another. We do it in the flesh, doesn't please him. Do it in the Spirit, it pleases him. So, and I could just go on and on with that, but I think you get the idea from those few examples. It's the power in which we do it. Look at Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. That's why I'd love to study this book, because this theme just is going to go all the way through this wonderful book of Colossians. And how did we receive him? By faith. That's how we walk with him. Let me read to you 1 John 2:6 for the sake of time. 1 John 2:6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. How did Jesus Christ walk? By faith in the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus Christ walked by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're to walk in that manner. Okay, our passage now says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects of your life, your social life, your marital or single life, your financial life, your time, values, all, every area, in all respects. Do not speed read past that word all. When the Holy Spirit puts that word there, it's there for a purpose. In all respects. Now we have four descriptive participles. Bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened, and I'll just tell you right now, strengthened, because you already have an idea about bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened is filling of the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you that. and then giving thanks to the Father. Prayer is always addressed to the Father. These are four things that will happen in your life if you're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. If you're walking in a manner to please the Lord. If you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll see these four things happening in your life. Begin, as you go into 2012, you might want to check out your walking by the Holy Spirit, beginning of each day and throughout the day. Now, what is important here is when we look at these four participles, and I'm just going to take the main thing I want to show you is, let's see, I can, the thing here is really bad. Here's the first one. Okay, the thing I want to show you on this is that this first one is a present active participle. The second one, increasing in knowledge, that's a passive voice. Present passive participle. Strengthened is a present passive participle. And then the last one, giving thanks, that goes back to the active voice. Well, here it is, the active voice. So we have an active voice, and then the two in between are the passive voice. Let me just talk to you about it, and then we'll go through it and look at it. Bearing fruit. Present active participle. You do this in the Holy Spirit. And we'll find out what it means, but you've got to do it. Increasing in the knowledge of God, people, you receive that from the Holy Spirit. Not something I do, not something you do. We take in the Word of God. We sit under a pastor, teacher, or I study, whatever it is. Then, as we do that, we receive this knowledge. Strengthened, this is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You don't do anything. This is received the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. Giving thanks gets back to what you and I can do. We can make a decision to give thanks. All right, let's take a quick look at the first one. Bearing fruit in every good work. Jesus Christ spent 16 verses in the Gospel of John 15 on our bearing fruit. I don't have time to go over all of those 16 verses. Don't even really have the time to read them. But if you want to follow through on that, we studied that in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, first 16 verses, bearing fruit. But here it is, says, bearing fruit in every good work. Okay, we have to define good. Good is filling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, everything done in the Holy Spirit. Every good work. Everything that you and I do in the power of the Holy Spirit. This should be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's note the second one. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Wow. This is powerful. Do you want to do this through 2012 or not? It's going to have to be up to each one of you. I've already made up my mind, but you've got to make up your mind. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Over and over, we are exhorted to increase in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Yet so many Christians are more concerned about their emotions, about their singing, about their prophecy, about their moral living, about their legalism. They're not concerned with growing in the knowledge of God. They already made up their mind what they're going to do for God, and by God, he better like it. That's the way they live. I already know where, and that's why I know people let their grow every day, all the time, growing in the knowledge, increasing in the knowledge of God. Present, passive, participle. Present tense, people, this should be characterize your life every day, all through your life through 2012, growing in the knowledge of God. The verb means to grow. The verb means to increase. The verb really means, right out of a dictionary, to add to. So we start out, we learn a little bit, we learn a little bit more, we learn a little bit more, and we just keep adding to it, adding to it, adding to it. I love to talk with people that have been married for 50 years, especially those that are really happily married, like the Langstons. They still love each other. They still are learning about each other. And they're not tired or bored of it. Maybe sometime. But not as a momentum. They're just constantly learning. Constantly enjoying. People we will never, ever, ever learn all there is to learn about God, obviously. And you just, your joy is to learn more and more and more about God. So it means to add to increase. We should just keep on growing in our knowledge of God. And again, the passive voice, we receive the knowledge of God when we're in the Holy Spirit by faith and listening or studying the Word of God. The participle, circumstantial, circumstance along with the walking. Descriptive participle, describing your life when you're walking. Increasing in the knowledge of God. This word for knowledge is the word epinosis again. This is the same word in verse 9. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Here we have increasing in the knowledge of God. This knowledge that you participate in acquiring. Knowledge that greatly influences your life. Increase in the knowledge of God. And we'll just take us a little break right now and have a little fellowship time together. And whenever you hear Wes playing the piano, swallow it quickly and down it with some water or something and come back in for our closing. Okay, let's take a little break. right, let's sing, Brian. I want to thank every one of you for being here tonight. Okay, let's just continue in our study in Colossians chapter 1. And we are in verse 10. And verse 10, he says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, if you're walking in that manner worthy of the Lord, there are four things that will characterize that walk. So the first one is in a participle, and that's the difference I was trying to say about the infinitive, and then you have participles. Well, what's going on? Well, we don't have five things here. We don't have walking, bearing fruit, strengthening, and what we got is one thing, the walk, and then the walk is characterized. What characterizes our walk? And he says here, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, you will just recall, he's just talked about in verse 9, being filled with the knowledge of his will. But here we're talking about increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, this one's interesting. Increasing in the knowledge of God. This is where wisdom comes and sets in and guides us. How do we know God? Increasing, participle, in the knowledge of God. How do we know God? Well, we know God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father. And this is very important to Jesus Christ. May not be important to us, but it's important to Jesus Christ in the Lord's Prayer. Take a look with me at John chapter 17. I have already concluded. There is no way I will finish 21 pages tonight. Well, come on. let's look at John chapter 17, and let's just note verse 3. John 17, 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God. So, eternal life is knowing God, and are we going to know him? Then if you look in verse 6, I, Jesus Christ, manifested, revealed thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. So Jesus Christ came to reveal God the Father to us. And this is important to him. Now, we're not going to turn to it, but let me read to you 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, people, when we learn about Jesus Christ, we're learning about God the Father. When we learn about God the Father, we're learning about Jesus Christ. This is just so important. And this is what we're here to do. And people are going to spend all eternity in this same momentum. But here, in our mortal flesh, sin nature, we can learn about God. This is just astounding. How many times people spend all the time in front of a TV and this series and that series, and I'm not knocking it, I'm just saying, and yet we have the privilege to know God. Look at Ephesians 4. We didn't look at the Peter passage, but let's look at Ephesians 4. And let's read together verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of faith, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, of the knowledge, that's our word, epinosis, the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. So each year we get more mature if we grow in the Word. We must keep on growing in the Word of God, individually and as an assembly, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And previously, this is why Jesus Christ gave us, in previously in Ephesians 4, if you look back up a few verses, this is why God or Christ gave to us the gift of pastor-teacher, in order to attain the unity of faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, what about knowledge of God and of Christ in relationship to spiritual love? All right, let's take a look at Philippians 1:9 on our way back to Colossians. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge, epinosis, of all and all discernment. See, as you grow in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, the magnitude of your love, spiritual love increase. Remember, spiritual love is a spiritual force. As a spiritual force, it has magnitude. That's the measurability. And it can increase and will increase. Your spiritual love for one another will increase as you grow in the knowledge of Christ. Look at Colossians 2:2. And then we'll go back to our study. Colossians 2, verse 2. This whole book is just flows with this understanding. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, spiritual love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the fullness, or excuse me, the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, let's just jump right to it. One of the things happening in the church today is what is called the prosperity gospel. Preachers talking about, boy, God's going to do this in prosperity. See, let me tell you something. The prosperity that the Word of God is talking about is right here in this passage. It's wisdom. Look what it says. Attaining, verse 2, attaining to all the wealth. There's your wealth, there's your prosperity that comes from full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ in Himself. That is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. People, this wisdom of God is the wealth. It's the treasure. You want to store up treasures in 2012? You want to get rich in 2012? Well, it depends on your standard. If your standard is in the cosmic material world, then go after it. But if you want the wisdom or the wealth, the treasure, the riches that really count, it's in His Word. And this flows all the way through the book of Job. Attaining to all wealth, full riches, that come from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures. So when the Word of God speaks about prosperity, wealth, treasures, it's not talking about earthly material prosperity, people. You hear that stuff, you know it's evil. You know it's a heretical teaching. This is the prosperity. No, you won't be able to go buy a loaf of bread with this. But you'll have inner peace. You'll have inner joy, whether you have the bread or not. You won't be scramping and have stress, anxiety, depression if you don't have something in life. This is true treasure. A second principle from this verse, we must be knit together as an assembly in spiritual love, by spiritual love, which increases as we increase in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So you want to be rich in 2012? Here's real wealth. Get your priorities straight. Here's real wealth. Knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do you get this wealth? By digging into the Word. By increasing in the knowledge of God. People, none of us know what 2012 is going to hold for us. Individually or as a nation, or as the world. I think we can all count on some tribulation. Romans chapter 5, we studied. Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 31, the last verse in it, you will have tribulation in the world. So I think we can count on tribulation. It'll come in all kinds of forms. Some it'll be illness, cancer, injury. It may be in the area of financial crisis, problems in relationships. Maybe along the way there'll be some physical blessings in the world. But whatever happens to you in 2012, God has given to you everything necessary for your life, people. Everything. You don't need a thing that God hasn't provided for you. One of the most powerful verses in this respect is 1 Peter chapter 1. Please turn with me to that. Let's take a look at that. 1 Peter chapter 1. I hope that tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, you'll go over this verse and just, pardon the expression, meditate on it, think about it, see what it says to you. But let's take a look. First, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Did I say 1 Peter? Okay. So, Steve, I'm sorry. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. People, you want grace from God? You want peace? Be multiplied. Not added. Multiplied. As you grow in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything. Now, in Colossians earlier, I told you to pay attention to that three-letter word that speed readers go over, called all, translated all. See that word, everything? Pay attention to that. It means everything. Has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And this, look what it says, through the true knowledge, you know why they say true? That's epinosis. True knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Now, I want to just go back over. He has granted to you everything pertaining to life. Everything you need to your life, God has provided. It's in His Word. It's in the knowledge of Him and of His Son. There are two vital principles. There's so much here, but we're just going to know two. Can you believe I'm writing it down to two for you? Two vital principles in this for our study. One, if you desire to experience more grace and peace from God in 2012, these are multiplied, not added. He multiplies to you in knowledge, epinosis, of God and of Jesus our Lord. And people, I've got to tell you again, I know you know, but I just want to remind you, this is not something that's inherent. This is not something we just automatically have, naturally have inside of us. This is to be acquired by submitting to the Holy Spirit and the study of the Word. Secondly, everything you will need pertaining to your life daily, whatever's going on, bad things, tribulations, good things, whatever's going on in your life, is through the true knowledge of God who called you. Do you believe that? And see, this is what it comes down to. Do you believe that or not? Do you believe that God has provided everything necessary for your life? And you'll be able to decide it. Not pass the test like you know the right answer. We all know the right, yeah, yes. Answer's yes, I got it. See? Like Peppermint Patty and Charles Schulz. I got it. See? But you'll know whether or not you got it by the way you live, by whether or not you go after it. Provided everything necessary. So you have to decide for yourself if he has or has. If he has, then you go there to get it. In verse 2, it was the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Here, it's the knowledge of God the Father. Now let's go back to Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And first of all, you just have to desire that. And you have to decide, do I desire to walk my daily life in a manner worthy of the Lord? To please Him, not me. To please Him in all respects. Here's wisdom. To please Him, you have to know Him. And to know Him, you have to know the Word of God. You have to know the full knowledge of Him. Now we have four descriptive, continuing our four descriptive participles. Let's take a note. Increasing in knowledge of God. Now we come to the third one. The third participle. Strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. With joy. We come to that. You'll either grab hold of it or decide you don't want it. We'll take a look. This brings us to the third member of the Godhead. We've talked about having knowledge of God. We've talked about having knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now we come to where the Holy Spirit fits in. And we want to be strengthened or empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need the knowledge of God the Father. We need the knowledge of God the Son. But this knowledge cannot come by the flesh. I don't care how high your IQ is. I don't care how much you study. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. This knowledge is only by the Holy Spirit. And again, we have the present, passive participle. We have that passive voice. You receive being strengthened. The present tense, we need the empowerment of the ministry of the Holy Spirit moment by moment and every day through 2012. Passive voice, this is grace, people. You don't strengthen yourself. This isn't a matter of going to the gym and start lifting weights. And you start off, you know, with 40 pounds. In a short time, you're up to 60. Pretty soon, you're up to 100. Then you're up to 110, strengthening your body. This isn't that kind of deal. This you receive. You receive this by faith. You receive this by grace. You receive being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. The only thing that you and I can do to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit is our faith. He's not looking for you to do more, be more, all this. No, just you trust. With a grain of mustard seed, do you trust me? And He will start pouring in His strength. The participle, the skin describes what will be happening in your life if you're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. We will receive being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Now, our passage says, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Now, this corresponds to another passage that we're familiar with. So let's just turn very quickly. It's just a few pages back. Galatians 3. To a passage that I'm not even going to work on. Just read it with the corrected translation. We've gone through it and through it and through it and through it looking at the Greek. So let's just read it now for the correction. Look at verse 5. Galatians 3:5. Does He, God the Father, then, who provides you, supplies you with the Spirit, even working power in you, do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? He supplies us with the Holy Spirit who works power, working power in us. Now let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Receive strengthening with all power. Okay. See that word power? Here again, we'd love to spend a lot of time. This is from the root word dunamis. It is the word is where we get the English word dynamite. And it's the root of the word in Galatians 3:5, working power. But here we have strengthening with all power. Now, before we miss it, do not speed read. Pass that all again. Look at it. Receive. I'm in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Look at receive strengthening with all power. This is the third time we've had this inclusive word, all. In all wisdom. All pleasing. Or pleasing in all respects. And now, all power. Okay, what do we have here? The only limit to God's giving to you is your lack of knowledge of all wisdom and understanding. So here, all power, there is no partial empowerment of the Spirit. I want to make that clear. This doesn't mean all power like you can partially be filled with the Spirit or all filled with the Spirit, all of you filled. No, there's no partial empowerment of the Spirit. There's partial influence. Partial influence. As we grow in the Word of God, we continue to grow in wisdom and understanding. The power of the Holy Spirit will have greater impact in our lives. Spiritual love is a perfect example. We know that spiritual love is a magnitude. It's a force. It expands, gets bigger and bigger. And what causes it to get bigger? Knowledge of Christ, knowledge of God. Knowledge of the Word of God. So, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, completely filled with the Spirit, and I know very little doctrine. But I am completely filled with the Spirit. So my spiritual love is just this amount. But as I start growing in the knowledge of the love of Christ, knowledge of God, knowledge of the Holy Spirit, of God the Father, now I'm filled with the Spirit, there's even more and more. So I want you to understand that word all doesn't mean there's partial fulfillment. You're completely fulfilled. But the desire is that we be completely fulfilled. Receiving strength with all power. Now note the next phrase. According to His glorious might. According to the might. This time we have the word kratos. It's distinguished from dunamis in that this word emphasizes the presence of God's might. Its significance. Rather than the exercise. When it's used, the dunamis refers to the exercise of His might. Kratos emphasizes the presence of His might. According to the might of God, of the glory of God. According to the might of His glory, for the attaining of all. Now we come to our fun tonight. Steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness and patience. And then it says, joyously. Okay. See the word? We have two words. Steadfastness and patience. Well, you probably have some idea what patience is. I don't want to take the time to find out how much you think of steadfastness. But let's just get right to it, and for the sake of time. The word steadfast. Steadfastness is the Greek word hupomone. That's H-U-P-O-M-O-N, long E. Hupomone. That's the word steadfastness. See that word patience? That's the word macro, M-A-K-R-O, thu, T-H-U, mia, M-I-A. Macrothumia. Now, I'm going to take a chance here. Where have we seen macrothumia in our studies? Huh? Spiritual love. Do you remember where? Okay, spiritual love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Spiritual love is what? How do we translate it? Is long-suffering. Long-suffering. That's the word macrothumia. Long-suffering. It's used to describe spiritual love. It's used to describe spiritual love. Now, if we were not, if I just didn't have all these circumstances, you know, I'd be happy. If I didn't have these bills, if I didn't have car trouble, if I didn't have these house payments, if I didn't have this problem, I could be happy. You know, if I didn't have to put up with people, I could be happy. You know, it's people that make me unhappy. If I could just not have people around, I'd be happy. And by the way, the word I'm using, happy, that's the word at the end, joyously. See that in your text? Joyously. But we'll come to that in a moment. First of all, let's take a look at steadfastness and patience. Okay, very briefly, and I do mean very briefly, for such a rich study. The first word, hupomone, translated steadfastness, deals with circumstances in your life. While macrothumia, translated patience, deals with people in your life. Husband, wife, children, family, friends, work, and of course church. People, right here is a solution to most of SAD, stress, anxiety, and depression in 2012. Right here, in these two words. This takes care of circumstances in your life. This takes care of people. Those horrible people don't know why God made them. Just do not know why. It'd have been just fine if he had just made me and left it alone. That would have been just fine. But no, he had to make all these people around me, and now I'm miserable. Okay? Steadfastness in regards to circumstances that keep coming up daily in our lives, and they just won't go away. They just won't go away. They're always there. I wake up, they're there. I go to sleep, and they're there. And today I had a new one arrive. Patience in regard to those we live with in our lives. Now, both of these, hupomone, steadfastness, just very quickly, what does that mean? That means you persevere through tribulation in life with circumstances. You don't move. You don't stop trusting. You don't stop growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of God. That's steadfastness. You stand firm. That's hupomone. Macrothumia, people. People, let me tell you something. You're going to suffer. Love suffers. We spend too much time on this in our study of spiritual love. Love suffers. The question is, how long will your love suffer? Spiritual love suffers long. Look at God. It suffered through all of the Old Testament with Israel. Macrothumia deals with people. Both of these are fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 a moment. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4. Love, spiritual love, is patient. This is the word macrothumia. Second word in our study. Now look down at verse 7. Spiritual love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and look at the next one. Endures all things. Steadfastness. Whatever is going on in your life. Spiritual love is long-suffering, macrothumia. Spiritual love endures all things, hupomone. So people, if you desire to rid your life of stress, anxiety, depression, or sad about people or circumstances, both of which are out of your control, both of which are out of your control, then you want to be strengthened by God, the Holy Spirit. Steadfastness, circumstance, patience, others. Then note the word joyously. Prepositional phrase, with joy. And what do we know about joy? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So how about this, people? It is possible to live through all of 2012, have joy or happiness in spite of circumstances, and God forbid, in spite of people. I don't care who they are. You can have joy. Are the circumstances in your life that wear you down? Sometimes even make you mad? Well, let me tell you about 2012. These circumstances do not have to change for you to be okay. That's what's amazing. They don't have to change. God doesn't have to come in and change circumstances. And do you know what? God doesn't have to change people for you to be okay. God doesn't have to change how that person drives in front of you for you to be okay in getting to and from work or church. He doesn't have to change them. He does not have to change your husband. He does not have to change. He does not have to change your wife. He does not have to change your children. He does not have to change your relatives, your friends, anyone. He doesn't have to change anyone. He's going to change you with the Holy Spirit, who will give you hupomone and makrothumia in regard to any circumstance in your life, regard to any people in your life. He does not have to change them. So you want to have inner happiness and peace in 2012, and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about your circumstances right now. Just, you don't have the money to do that, or you don't have the means to, or you don't have the youth to do it anymore, whatever it may be. You can't change your circumstances. God can change you where you will have inner joy, regardless of that. He doesn't have to change people. And people, let's admit it. People get on our nerves. Our husbands get on our nerves. Our wives get on our nerves. We love them. They get on our nerves. People get on our nerves. Children get on our nerves, and we love our children. Boy, we love them, but they get on your nerves. You love them, but they get on your nerves. Okay? But look what happens. Makrothumia, hupomone. Just walk in the Spirit. He doesn't have to change them. He doesn't have to change them. He doesn't have to change circumstances. This is powerful. This is something God came up with that's ingenious. It's the wisdom of God. He doesn't have to change anything. He changes you with the power of the Holy Spirit, giving you the steadfastness in circumstances where you still continue to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. And He gives you makrothumia. He gives you long-suffering in regard to people. Well, I'm not quite through, but we'll finish this study tomorrow morning. Just a few hours. See, just a few hours. We'll take a break, go home, and shower and get some sleep, and then come back and finish this up in the morning. But let's close the year with taking communion together. Let's close the year with taking communion together. We have two elements in communion. We have the bread and the cup. Bread represents the body of Christ, which, by the way, we'll be looking at a little later in the study. And the cup represents the spiritual death of Christ. So, and I like communion. It's just, it's what it is, communion. God just, it's calling us back home. We do it once a month here, as you know, just a reminder how He called us when we were sinners, when we were unbelievers, when we were His enemies. Sometimes we get going in our life, we get off a little bit, but He calls us back home. As you know, it's our custom that everyone hold the bread till everyone's been served, that we will partake of it together. Paul writes, "For I receive from the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It is our custom that everyone hold the cup until everyone has been served, that we might take communion together. In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the passing year. And we look forward, Heavenly Father, for the new year, for growing in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for this assembly. Pray that you will continue to use it for the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, it is our custom to always end.